Elijah is running from Jezebel, and he is in the mouth of a cave. He just had a big victory at Carmel. Fire came from heaven. He's at the very height of his career, and he's hiding in a cave, running away from Jezebel. He's curled up in a cave, afraid. And then there's a strong wind. A powerful wind comes, shakes the mountain. And the scripture says that the Lord was not in the wind. Then there's an earthquake. A powerful earthquake is coming. Rocks are falling from the top of the mountain. He's looking out at the mouth from the mouth of the cave and seeing the mountain basically collapsing all around him. And the Lord is not in the earthquake. Then a great big fire. The bushes start to burn. The ground around starts to light up as if somebody had poured petrol over the mountain. Big flames all around. And the Lord is not in the flames. And yet, Elijah, after all this fear, after all of this drama, this great force of nature that's happening all around him, he begins to hear a still, small voice. And it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And then, many centuries later, fishermen are in a boat, experienced, but they're in a storm and it's raging, and their boat is about to capsize. And there is a teacher with them on the boat, waking him up. Wake him up. And Jesus wakes up and with one word calms the waters. The voice of the Lord. It's an amazing thing, the voice of the Lord. This is what I want to speak to you about tonight. The voice of the Lord, so we can hear it. If we've heard it, I think we've heard some of it, and it's still here, and it's speaking to us. The voice of God, the only thing that matters. It's the most beautiful voice you'll ever hear. You know, on top of your mother's voice and your father's voice, this is the most important voice in your life. The most important voice in your life. Hearing the voice of God, that's the only thing that matters in our world full of voices. And the verse that I want to use, the scripture that I want to use is from Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I think it's a very famous passage of scripture. It's about the call of Samuel. We all know it, but it's beautiful to read it and really contemplate on the richness of this passage. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the young Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." And now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And here, isn't three times a charm? A third time. And he rose and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood. And the Lord came and stood, calling as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Beautiful, right? Amazing verse. We're going to skip a few, but then on verse 19, let's draw our attention to that. "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord." Amen. Praise be to God. The voice of God. The call of God. Wow. What a beautiful thing. If you haven't experienced it yet, I hope that tonight will be a night where you start to seek out the voice of God. We live in a world of voices. Over a billion people are putting their voice up on social media, on Facebook, every day, every second. They're out there posting stuff. More than 100 million people use Instagram every month. 5 new profiles are created every second. So just imagine 1 second. 5 new profiles. 5 new profiles. 5 new profiles. By the time I'm done with the sermon, there will be, 1,000 profiles created. But all of them want to be heard. Everybody wants to be heard, right? We live in a world full of voices. And the most important thing that the world wants to teach us is that your voice matters, right? You have a voice, and you need to be heard. And if anybody's trying to crush that voice, you need to fight for your voice. You need to find your voice. We have TV shows called The Voice, right? Find your voice. Be the voice. You are the voice. Okay? The voice. It's such an important thing. And the world is full of voices. I'm here to talk to you tonight about the missing voice. There is a missing voice. In this, all this craziness of voices all around us. And it's not just in our times. It was in Samuel's time too. The voice of God was missing. The whole thing starts with that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. The voice of God. And how rare it is in our day. And how it's missing. Here are some of the things that were happening in the temple, just so you get a little bit of background on what life was like under the missing voice of God. The priests of the temple, namely Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, which the Bible describes as being worthless men. Okay, worthless men, but they are the priests in the house of God, doing the work of God. These men, these sons of Eli, were not just stealing money from the church or the offering, and we won't go into all the sins that they've done, but they were wicked men. Their wickedness went as far as to, they were basically sleeping around with the women that were outside of the temple. They were defiling themselves in this way. And then they were coming and performing rituals, going through the motions. There's Samuel too. Little Samuel is there. And he is also going through the motions, performing the rituals, serving with Eli, learning the things, learning how to, you know, how to do everything that's right, how to put on the robes, how to, all of the things that make for good service. But lost. Without the voice, lost. In the temple, because the word of the Lord says that he did not yet know, he didn't recognize the voice of God. It's a beautiful story because the story of Samuel doesn't begin here, actually. The story of Samuel begins with his mother, with Hannah. And his mother is, we find her in a very dramatic scene, praying in the temple. She's in the temple, praying. And she is crying, voicelessly praying and tearing up inside because she cannot conceive a child. She cannot become pregnant. And her agony is heard by the Lord. And she begets Samuel. And you know what Samuel means? You know what this name means? Anyone here named Samuel? No, we don't have any Samuels? Sam Bachu, we have you in the back, my friend. You know what your name means? God heard. God hears. Domnul aude. So the beautiful journey is the journey of Samuel begins with God hearing. And now in chapter 3, it is Samuel's turn to hear. It is Samuel's turn to hear the voice of God. Your life began with God hearing. Your life began with God listening to prayer. You were brought before the altar here in church. Some of you in this church, others elsewhere. And we prayed. The whole church prayed. The pastors laid the hands on you. For what? For God to hear. To hear. To hear your name being uttered in the presence of his congregation. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. And God heard. It's now your time to hear. It's the great journey of being heard by God and hearing from God. But you see, our first immediate carnal reaction is to run to people. Samuel hears from God and he runs to people. We all do that. We hear from God, then we need someone to interpret what God said for us. First, this is a journey of clarity, of finding clarity, of figuring out, is this really God talking to me? Or is it all in my head, right? Samuel had the same question, guys, brothers and sisters. The same question. Is it in my head, or is this really God? Or who is this Eli? And he runs to Eli. Isn't it funny? God tells us something. How the call of God can make you run to something that is not God. How the call of God can make you run to something that isn't God. And he does. He runs to Eli for the answer. We do this a lot. We get a word from the Lord, and we need to verify it. And some of us, we call prophets, and we have them on our cell phone, on speed dial. And we have them, some of them are far away in Romania, in a mountain somewhere. You know, the further they are from civilization, the more holier they are, so they're more connected to God. So we call them, and we ask them to pray, and de sun înapoi, în 5 minute, am nevoie. Okay. Then we call back, and then the prophet says, okay, this thus saith the Lord. How many of you have had that experience? Please don't tell me. You're in a Romanian Pentecostal church. You've had this. You've phoned a prophet somewhere in the middle of the night, before an operation, before an exam, before you had to make a decision, you know? And we do that. We run to people. We run because we're scared, because we don't know, and we're afraid. Is God really the one speaking to me? Or can God actually speak to me? And many of us feel that the Lord cannot speak to us. God doesn't speak to me. He may speak to other people, but he's never spoken to me. How many of you have heard that before? I'm here with some good news. God speaks all the time. He's talking to you right now. He's speaking right now into your heart. He speaks through his Spirit into your spirit. This is the way he prefers to speak, into your spirit. Your spirit, which is of God. That's a clear channel of communication. That does not have... God can speak into your spirit. You can obviously find ways to block it, and your antenna may not be tuned. Really quickly here, because time's running out, and I do want us to pray and go before the Lord again in worship. And worship team, I hope you guys didn't run out of songs. Just think of one that's going to really take us into the presence of God and God's hearing God's voice while I wrap this up. So, what happens when God speaks? We're going to use Samuel as an example. You know, the first thing that happens is God wakes him up. Îl trezește. Când vorbește Dumnezeu, te trezește. De acolo de unde ești, din somnul ăla care îl dormi, te trezește. God wakes you up. That's a good sign of God speaking. He doesn't put you to sleep. He wakes you up. In the middle of the night sometimes. Actually, a lot of people have heard things from the Lord in the middle of the night. It's not uncommon to hear people saying, I heard him speak to me at night, or he spoke to me in a dream, or I had a vision, or at night. A lot of it happens at night. Have you noticed that? At night. Why? Maybe because at night, when the lights are off, and you're all alone, and it's quiet in the house, and the TV's no longer on, and the kids are not running around anymore, and no one's calling you on your cell phone, and your cell phone is hopefully turned off, and it's not pinging every 5 seconds. You have stillness, and it's a moment of stillness. God speaks in the stillness. But he wakes you up in that stillness. So, Dumnezeu îl trezește pe Samuel. God wakes him up. And the second thing that happens is that God calls you out of something and into something. So the first thing he hears, Samuel hears his name being called. Someone's calling him Samuel. He confuses the voice with the voice of Eli. But God did not borrow Eli's voice, just to be clear. He's not impersonating Eli in any shape or form. It's just that Samuel is asleep. And Samuel hears his name being called. Someone called, but it's a different voice. It's not a physical human voice like that of Eli's. It's a big impression in Samuel's spirit that wakes him up. And he goes to Eli because he thinks it's Eli. It's physical and real because it wakes him up. But then, very nice here, I love it, when the word says that the Lord, in verse 10, came and stood, calling as other times. From his voice, from the impression to the presence of the Lord. His voice brings you into his presence. He brings his presence with him. It calls you out of something into something. It's calling Samuel out of childhood and into a great, wonderful work that God has ahead for him. Something is ending and something is beginning. The voice of God in your life is not going to tell you to continue doing the same things you've been doing and expect the same results. You know, some of us want big things. We want to part the Red Seas. And we feel like, oh, when God speaks to you, God has to speak to you about something big. God doesn't speak about little things. He's going to tell you to go and tell San Francisco to melt into the sea or something. And then that's how you'll know that God spoke. He's telling you little things. Like, he's been telling you to clean your closet for the last 2 weeks, and you haven't. He's been telling you to lay off of those carbs, and you haven't. You're not faithful in the little things, but yet you want the big things. He's been telling you to be a better father. He's been telling you to stop fighting with your wife. He's been telling you to stop going shopping and wasting all your family's money on meaningless things. He's been telling you to be a better coworker or a better boss. He's been telling you to give to church. He's been telling you to help out. I can list it on and on. God's been telling you many things. But are you doing what God is telling you to do? And can God trust you to do those things? God is about to deliver a very big message to Samuel. This is a prophecy of doom for the house of Eli. The house of Eli is about to end. And it is through Samuel that God brings this message. It's not an easy message to deliver to your boss, okay? Let's put it this way. To go and say, God will destroy you. Go and do that to your boss tomorrow at work and see if you still have a job. But this powerful message that God gives to Samuel, and he entrusts Samuel with it. Samuel is faithful to deliver it. He's faithful to deliver it. The last thing that the voice of God does, the call of God does, is that it magnifies the Lord. This is important because prophecy has to magnify Scripture. It has to magnify the Lord. Every word of God, every word from the Lord that you receive, you can verify with Scripture. And the more you know Scripture, the easier it will be for you to discern and to have more clarity about when God is speaking to you and how He speaks. So, as you get closer to Him and you get closer to Scripture, the end goal, brothers and sisters, is not your own voice to be heard or that you to be someone big, but His name and His voice to be heard. Beautiful here, right? Samuel grew. The Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. This is a big deal. It's also a beautiful thing that the words that Samuel spoke, the Lord did not allow to fall to the ground. That is power. In this world of powerlessness, that's power. To say something from the Lord and then the Lord not to let those things fall to the ground. Isn't that amazing? That's the kind of power that God can give you if He can trust you. If He can trust you to obey the little things. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. You see, the Lord is being magnified. What a beautiful thing when the Lord is magnified in your life and people see that God is real. This is all, what this really boils down to, guys, is God real? Is He real to you? I'm asking you this in all seriousness. You say He's real. You come to church because you believe He's real. But if He's truly real to you, He will speak to you. He will speak directly to your spirit. When was the last time you heard from God? He wants to talk to you. It is the nature of God to want to speak to you, to want to speak directly to your heart. You know, it's the best thing that I can do as a father. I pray with my kids. Simona and I, we pray with our kids every night. And we think that maybe that does something. But then one day I went and I told them, I said, guys, if you really want to know God, if he's real, ask him to speak to you directly. We can, mommy and daddy can tell you from the Bible, we can teach you many things. You can come to church and learn about God, but you'll not be learning who God really is. You'll learn about God, and we can give you a lot of information, and you have Google, and you have Wikipedia to help too. And you can have a lot of information. But knowing a lot about God is not knowing much more than the devil and Satan's minions. They know more about God maybe than you and I do. The devil knows scripture better than you and I do. He can quote scripture like there's no tomorrow. But knowing God, being close to God and being able to hear his voice, se auz vocea lui, that's the beginning of a wonderful and amazing journey. I remember the first time I asked God to speak to me. I prayed very seriously about this. God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to reveal things to me. I was reading scripture a lot, and I was very moved by the way God was speaking to his prophets and speaking to his people, and how God was sending messages to them and telling them what was coming up ahead. And you guys can come up here, worship team, so we can end in prayer, go before the Lord as I close with this illustration. Basically, I asked God to speak to me, and it was the first time that God had spoken to me. I was in my friend's house, and he had, him and his wife could not have children. They just learned that they couldn't have kids. And it was very sad, obviously, to hear that as a husband and wife, that you can't have kids. It's very heartbreaking. And I said, let's pray. And in the prayer, God told me to tell them that they will have a kid, and that they will have a kid before the end of the year, and that more specifically, they're going to have a boy, and that they should name him Samuel. These are the things that God told me to tell them. And it was the first time I was hearing from God, and it was scary. My skin was crawling. I was frightened. These are my friends. What if I raised their hope? You raised the hope of a mother to tell her that she's going to have a son before the end of the year. And I said, no, I can't do it. I can't tell them that. I'm going to be the laughingstock. I'm not. If it doesn't come to pass, I'm even going to leave the church. Nobody's going to want to look at me anymore. God said, can I trust you with this? Will you tell them? Pot să am încredere în tine că poți să duci cuvântul ăsta? Nu e un cuvânt greu. You're not delivering a death sentence. Other people had to deliver more heavier words from the Lord. I told Daniel and his wife, I said, I think I'm hearing something from God. You're going to have a child, and you'll have him this year. Don't worry, the doctors, yeah, they did all the tests. But keep trying. God's telling me you're going to have a child, and you're going to have a boy, and you should name him Samuel. They broke down. They were crying. They were so happy. They really believed that God speaks. This was a family who believed that God can speak. And I waited This was sometime in, I don't know, it was like early March or something, and I waited for months to see if she would come to church with a belly so that I could see that the Lord, in fact, fulfilled his prophecy. I didn't have to wait for that. Daniel called me one day, and he said, my God, man, he was so happy. He said, she's pregnant. It's unbelievable. She's pregnant. I said, okay, let's wait and see what happens. Maybe it's a girl. And I didn't get it all right. Because sometimes you get things from the Lord and you don't really fully understand. And you get frequency interference, you know, like with these mics. So I waited. They decided to really make me fear, and they decided they were not going to find out what the sex of the child was until... So they were not going to go to the ultrasound and get it checked. It was December, and the year was about to end, and Daniel called me this time from the delivery room, and he said, crying over the phone, it's a boy, and his name is Samuel. And that was my first test of hearing from God. When I had decided to get married, I asked my wife to marry her on this day 17 years ago. Simona's birthday is today. I was 21 years old. I was in my first year of college. My dad said to me, you cannot get married. He's not here right now. I can talk about this. He'll probably watch it online or something. He said, you're not ready. Wait 4 more years. I said, yes, but she's the one. He said, well, like, if she's the one, then you can let her go and she'll come back. He gave me that speech. So I prayed, and God gave me a word, a very powerful word about Simona. When he gave me that word, I didn't have any money. I was a poor student in a part-time job. The only thing of value that I actually possessed was a Hochner accordion. And I sold it for $500. And I went and bought a wedding ring. And I drove from Springfield to Dallas. She was in Dallas at the time. And on her birthday, 17 years ago, I went down on one knee. She says I asked her to be the mother of my children. I don't remember exactly how I asked her. But it was her birthday. And I asked her to marry me based on a word that I heard from God. Against the wishes of my father, God bless his heart, against his wishes, against norms, a 21-year-old college student who just sold his accordion to buy a wedding ring. But I heard from God that she's the one. And if you're going to move, move now, do it now. 9 months later, we were married. It was, again, hearing the voice of God. And from then, it's not been easy. It's not been like I've been just hearing from God and I've been doing things. And God tells me, do this, and then I do it. No, it's not. There are times when I lose it. I lose the voice of God for like weeks. And it hurts when you lose the voice of God. Like you're not in constant contact with God, and you are hungry to receive a word. I don't know if you have the same experience. When you will really desire for God to speak to you. So tonight, I want us to stand. Să ne ridicăm. Nu știu de când nu ai auzit de la Domnul. Dar Domnul vrea să-ți vorbească în seara asta. Poate ți-a și vorbit stând acolo pe bancă în sufletul tău. Și poate ai un cuvânt. You have a word that you've been getting from the Lord. Maybe God's been telling you to do something, to move, to do something. And you've been backing out, and you know it's the Lord because it's that word that is unshaking in your heart. And it's really that wondrous thunder in Job. Job calls it that wondrous rolling thunder in your heart. That's the răscolește, you know, that we have this word too. It really like messes up with you in a way. It keeps you up at night. I don't know what that is, but God is speaking to you. And I know God's speaking to all of us, young and old. Just listen. Open your ears. 15 times in the New Testament, he who has an ear, let him hear. Cine are urechi să audă. Let's go before the Lord tonight as the worship team closes us out in a song and a prayer, and really ask the Lord to speak to us, to speak to your heart. That's the altar call for tonight. God, speak to me this week, tonight, in the coming days. I want to hear your voice like Samuel heard it. I want to wake up. I feel like I'm sleeping. I feel like I'm dozing off in church, in my life. I'm dozing off in my life. I don't know what to do. I want you to speak to me. I need your voice right now. I'm confused. I'm trying to make this decision. I don't know what to do. Should I get the operation? Should I not get the operation? Should I make the investment? Should I not make the investment? Should I marry him? Should I not marry him? Should I start a relationship with that girl? Should I not start a relationship with her? Should we move out of state? Should we stay in California? There are so many questions, right? Should I continue going to this school? Should I pursue this major? What should I do, Lord? He has the answers. He's got the answers, guys. And he's willing to give them to you tonight if you will trust him. And if he can trust you, maybe the little things that he's asked you to do already, the things that he's put on your heart already and you haven't done them. Let's be still tonight as we go in prayer.